Matthew 17, 1 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took him, Peter and James, and his brother John, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, and our minds to what you are saying to us now. Teach us afresh. Help us to contemplate. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Transfiguration, and you have a picture up there so that you can look at that if that helps you. And at the end of this talk, Andy is going to play a song about the Transfiguration whilst you can meditate on the picture. So I think this passage needs putting into context of where it comes in the Bible. So the previous chapter, Peter has said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That's the first time that he's proclaimed that. And then Jesus moves on to tell his disciples about his suffering and ultimately his death. Jesus talks about taking up your cross daily. And then at the start of chapter 17, we have the Transfiguration. And this chapter finishes with Peter going fishing in order to pay the temple tax. So we have a whole mixture of things. But this passage is a building block, and it helps us to understand God's word better. Transfiguration shows us Jesus' glory here on earth. Now, if Peter hadn't proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah before the Transfiguration, it would not have been so powerful. But because he did it before he'd seen God's glory revealed, it makes it that much stronger. And God's timing is rarely our timing. Sometimes we think God's done things too soon, or we get really impatient with waiting. But God's timing is for a reason. I don't know, it depends how old you are. Some of you will remember Morph, a little brown plasticine model who changed shape. And the reason he was called Morph is from the word metamorphosis, which is when something changes. And that's what Transfiguration relates to. So the Lord's glory was radiated out of Jesus. It wasn't just reflected. So there was this transformation from within that radiated out, and the change and the glory shined out all around. So thinking back to the story, we have 6 days later going up a mountain by themselves. We have Jesus with Peter, James, and John. And we have the Transfiguration when Elijah and Moses appear. And Jesus' face shone like the sun. His clothes were dazzling white. And Peter offers to build shelters, and the bright cloud overshadows them as God spoke. And all these little things are all really relevant, and they're bringing the Old Testament and the New Testament together. So let's think about the transfiguration in context to Jesus' baptism. The baptism of Jesus was the start of his earthly ministry in Matthew chapter 3. And God said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." At the transfiguration, Jesus is near the completion of his earthly ministry. And God says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This was to encourage the disciples because dark days were coming. And we have the transfiguration in relation to the crucifixion. So the transfiguration was up a mountain. Jesus' glory was revealed. We had the prophets, Moses representing the law and Elijah representing prophets. Jesus' clothes were stunning white. And Peter, although he's very afraid, thinks that Jesus is wonderful. Contrast that to the crucifixion, where Jesus is revealed in shame on a hillside outside Jerusalem. He's stripped of all his clothes and they're gambled away. Peter is hiding in shame, and the soldiers that are with Jesus represent just how low Israel has sunk, the rebellion against God. We have the Ten Commandments in relation to the transfiguration. Moses went up to the mountaintop to receive the commandments, and the glory of God covered the mountain for 6 days. In this transfiguration, the new law is revealed, the visible glory of God. The disciples had fallen to the ground. They were afraid. But Jesus says to them, "Get up, do not be afraid." And they see that Jesus is on his own. And he tells them, "Do not tell anyone until after these things have been revealed." So where have we heard the words before? Do not be afraid. When Jesus walked on the water and he took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink, and Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." This time, Peter has his eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. So the transfiguration demonstrates that Jesus is more than human. His relationship to Moses and Elijah point to him being the Messiah. It points to him being the Son of God. Heaven came to earth. For a moment, we see Jesus enthroned in a way that predicts his future. We see God was fulfilling the prophecies that reveal Jesus. Jesus' coming, transfiguration, death, and resurrection were confirmed in the prophetic words of the scripture. Peter also talks about the transfiguration in 2 Peter 1, and he talks of holding these things like holding a bright lamp through the darkness of the night. And Jesus will reappear shining in glory. So what does this mean for us now? We look back at the scriptures, which are God's divine words. We need to understand them, to understand what Jesus did for us then and what he does for us now. We need to know God's word and who God is, and we can only do that through spending time in prayer, in reading our Bible. To get up and read a few verses and pray a few short words will not set you up for the rest of the day until the next morning. We need to be coming to Jesus with our hearts being open in the morning and at other times in the day, before bed, but to really spend that time with Jesus. It's a two-way relationship, and we need to get to know him more through his word, through prayer. And if we've done something and we've realized it's really wrong in the day and we shouldn't have done that, we don't have to wait till the next time that we're having our planned prayer time to say sorry. We can say sorry to God there and then. The morning star shines in our hearts and it radiates out into the world. Are we witnesses of that? So where do we need to pray for God's Spirit to be at work in us? Maybe we're at work, or we're looking after grandchildren, or doing voluntary work in the day. Is God's Spirit at work in us then? When we're out shopping or doing everyday boring things, is God's Spirit at work? What about with our friends? Do they see the real us? Do we have one us in the week and a different us on a Sunday? And what about at home? And actually, home, if you're not with Christians, can be a really tough time because it's the time that you're most tested. So God changes us or transfigures us into his glory, according to 2 Corinthians. So as we yield to the Spirit of God, let's look at this picture. Let's think about how God is transfiguring us. Some words from Tom Wright. But the point of it is that we should recognize that same power, love, and beauty within Jesus, and to listen for it in his voice, not least when he tells us to take up our cross and follow him. Sometimes we make really big mistakes, even when we have really good intentions. And I'm going to share something with you now from when I was a lot younger. I come from an atheist family, if you don't know that. I became a Christian when I was 11, and I started going to church regularly when I was 13. I didn't have that background, although school was very good at telling us some Bible stories. And so everything was really new to me, and I took it all in, and I took it really seriously because I wanted to do my best. And I was in a church that had very good teaching. And some of the teaching they gave us was, you should never read your horoscope. It's just not on. It's predicting the future, and that's not of God. And when I was 16, I was in college, and one of my friends was really trying to wind me up by reading me my horoscope, and my mind was thinking, oh, this is a sin, I cannot hear this. And I reacted really badly by snatching the magazine off her and hitting her with it. And everybody went, oh, because it was so out of character. Okay, and the point is, that wasn't shining for God. I was so determined to do the right thing that I did something totally wrong that really did not show the love of God. But I think even if your moments aren't as dramatic as that, I think we all have moments where we really try and do the right thing and we end up missing it totally. So I'm going to leave you with this picture, and I think Andy's got a song for us on the Transfiguration, and I'm just going to leave you to reflect.
Yeah. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for Transfiguration Sunday. That day you took James, John, and Peter up the mountain. The other 9 disciples were somewhere else. Help us not to compare our lives or faith journeys to other people's, but rather trust that you love each and every one of us and are with us always, whatever the situation. God, thank you for the moments when we glimpse your glory and power, just like James, John, and Peter did. May these moments stir us to serve you and share you with others at home, in our communities, and further afield. Help us to sit with you more in prayer and to see your light. At the same time, help us not to worry when we might not see you clearly or feel your presence, but trust in your word and the testimony of others, just as your transfiguration was recorded by your followers to encourage us today. May your transfiguration encourage us in times of hardship and difficulty. We bring to you the things we're struggling with in our lives, relationships, work, health. We pray for those unwell and in need of your healing, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We pray for those who mourn, those who are brokenhearted. May you comfort them, hold them close, and cover them with your wings. God, thank you for those who shine like you. Thank you for their love and kindness and for showing people the way. We pray that more people with influence and power may meet with you, experience your glory, and shine your light in their companies and countries. May this transform the world we're living in. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Help us to discern the way forward in our lives, at St. Mark's and in other decisions. Help us to be humble and wise, interpreting your message to us. Initially, Peter thought you wanted him to make booths, tents, but he listened to your voice from within the cloud and instead worshipped you. Guide us, Lord, and help us when the way isn't clear. God, help us with our fear and doubts. You tell us not to fear, but still we do. Just like Peter, who even though he saw you transfigured, denied you later on. Thank you, Lord, that you understand the human condition and that your mercy and grace never runs out. Forgive the mess we find ourselves in, for the strife, conflict, and war there is on your precious planet, as well as the challenges our environment faces. Renew our strength and peace, and send us out to be a healing light in your world. And as we ask for your kingdom to come, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.